You know, we are a community, and you know, in our day, heaven and earth are waiting for the emergence of a spirit-led people, you know, a spirit-empowered people, and creation is waiting for the springing up of a people who know in this life, right now, before heaven, this life, the power of the kingdom of God. And it's great to see, you know, individual people getting touched by the Holy Spirit. And individualism is emphasized in Western culture. It's something that we do great, and that leads to a preoccupation with the private experience of the Holy Spirit. But you know, Tony mentioned it before when he was talking in communion about preaching about the Holy Spirit. In the end, it is something that we have to experience together. And we are a community. You know, when Israel was in Egypt and God led them out, He brought a people out. He didn't bring out a bunch of individuals who just happened to be heading in the same direction. He had a people and he spoke to them together. They saw the fire and they saw the cloud. And, you know, God wants us as a people to move together. Community. And back then, they refused God's invitation. When God invited them to come up the mountain, they said no. They said to Moses, "You go up." And that led, you know, Moses was the first prophet. He began a person who sort of represented, you know, God of the, even though they were people, they said no to going up that mountain, and the age of the prophets was born. And then as we learn today and what's in the Bible, it got to a stage where the people even refused the prophets and they wanted a king. And through that whole Old Testament, we can read that prophets were always on the outside after that. You know, they were speaking, they were instructing, they were being killed and martyred, but generally they were on the outside. And then a new day came and Jesus came. In the fullness of time, and he said, his own words, "If two of you on earth agree about any matter that you pray for it, it will be done for you. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there among them." And that's where we are now. Tony spoke about that this morning, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And that's what we have now, community. Together, it's one of our values, one of our church values. God is with us. We accomplish great things. We work together. And so we are a community, and we know that, you know, many years ago, my father felt led to pray for the spirit of understanding to be upon us. And from that day, you know, we've had a deposit of community in our midst. And so we start to feel differently about one another. And my desire is that we pray for more of that spirit. We need, you know, if that was a deposit, we need the rest. And down at the Sons Retreat, Dad went around the room for all the different, you know, people who represented different churches and asked them what they felt they needed for their locality and one prayer that we could pray as a group. And I got the privilege to represent peace. And the one thing I felt is more of that spirit of understanding. Community, we need more of that, because, you know, God is with us and we have the Spirit of God working among us, but yet we still see that we do have those little aggravations. And, you know, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, not only he poured out tongues, but that spirit of community came, so they were in one heart and one mind. They rose up as one person, and that's what we want. We want more of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that we can be raised up as one person to do the work of God. And today, I just wanted to talk around some of the issues, some of the practical things about living in community. Not living in a commune, obviously, we don't do that, but we share our lives, we live together, and as Tony said, you know, we should be like this. We belong to one another. But You know, when you belong, there's still, even though there's love, there's still boundaries in love. And that's what I want to talk about today. You know, boundaries in community. So a boundary, what is a boundary? It's a line which marks the limit of an area. It's a dividing line. And you see, in a physical sense, you see this everywhere. You see that, you sort of see fences between houses. You see not often physical boundaries, but at least boundaries on maps between countries. And you see it on football fields. You know where the sidelines are, you know where the try lines are, there's boundaries. And a lot of times that line is not supposed to be crossed. You know, in football, if you go over the boundary line, the ball gets given to the other team. You know, big no-no. You know, in countries, most countries like their own citizens staying in their own country and other citizens not coming in. And that's why you have problems in places like USA and Mexico. You know, they try to keep the integrity of their boundary line there. You know, boundaries provide protection. They provide order. But ultimately, they provide freedom. Because when you know where your boundaries are, you're safe inside. And I gave the example a few months ago about guardrails, you know, on a big bridge. You see some of these big bridges in Europe that are mile, you know, they go across valleys. And if you had no guardrails or no boundaries, you'd feel very unsafe going at 100 kilometres an hour along that bridge, right? You'd think, oh, the edge is just there, but they just have a bit of tin there, you know, a bit of guardrail, and you just feel safe. Yep, that's my boundary. Even though it may not stop you, it may, I don't know, I haven't tried. But because it's there, because you see it there, you're safe inside, and it gives freedom. So that's what a boundary does. And there's many different kinds of boundaries. There's material boundaries, and they sort of relate to, you know, your material possessions, like your money or your car, your clothes. You know, would you give money, lend money? What would you lend to other people? Would you lend your car to someone else, or would you put a boundary there? Would you lend your clothes to other people? What about your toothbrush? You know, that people, and all people are different. I know Karis doesn't mind sharing toothbrushes, and she steps over that boundary of mine sometimes. I come in and find that there. But so there's different things, and people have different boundaries in different places, right? There's physical boundaries. They relate to things like, you know, personal space. You know, this is my... I'm a person like this, right? This is my area. Don't stand in it. And you know that game Space Invaders? Yeah, well, when there's personal Space Invaders, I like to shoot them, okay? So you belong there, I belong here. That's a personal boundary, okay? But things like, you know, loud music, you can have a neighbour have it. You know, that's boundaries that start, physical boundaries that start pushing each other, and people have different levels. There's mental, you know, boundaries you have in your mind. They can be internal boundaries like self-control, your views, your opinions. And emotional boundaries like feeling guilty when someone else has a problem. Do you take on someone else's emotional baggage? You know, there's different people have boundaries in different places. And I find these very interesting subjects in the light of being a Christian, because we are supposed to give our body, soul, and spirit into the submission of Christ. So some people might be called to take on the emotional baggage of somebody else. It, you know, ultimately, it's not actually our call where we place those boundaries. Ultimately, it's our job to listen to Christ, and He will tell us what our role is and where we should place boundaries. Because, I mean, a great story is like the Good Samaritan, right? He came along and helped the Jewish man. He helped that man, yep. And then he took him to a motel or hotel, and he paid for, you know, the accommodation, all that thing. So that was obviously where he held his boundary. Like, he didn't stay around for 3 weeks and cuddle him every day. He just put the money down and left, right? So that he was called to do a certain job, and that's where the boundary stood. The boundary stood at, yeah, I'll help you, I'll do everything I can, but I'm not going to see you cuddling you for 3 weeks. Okay, but someone else might be called to do that. There's boundaries in different places, and you know, it's your job to not set your own. I would suggest that you should spend time with Christ to work out where your boundaries sit. But today I'm going to talk about some community boundaries. And you know, there are things that are threats to community, and these are just things jumbled around in my mind, as you can see. That's why put them up a bit jumbly because they just sort of float around. And you've got resentment and jealousy, criticism, assumption, gossip, unforgiveness, expectations and guilt. And I want to talk just about a couple of these today. But I'm also going to read some passages from Paul because he had a lot of good things to say about how as a people we live together. So we're just going to swap back and forward so, you know, we're not all on the dark side. So I will start by reading Romans 12, 3 to 8. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of one's faith. If service, in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity, leading with diligence, and showing mercy with cheerfulness. As part of community, we do well to read Romans 12 daily. When I was sort of doing things with the youth, we hadn't memorized it at a point, and I think for parents teaching kids, Romans 12 is a great place to start. The whole passage, it's fantastic. Offense. First thing I'm going to talk about is offense. I guess you can read that, yeah. Proverbs 19:11. A person's insight gives him patience, and his virtue is to overlook an offense. How easily do you take offense? Have you actually ever thought about how easily you take offense and whether you're even entitled to take an offense? Do you feel like you have to defend yourself when somebody says something? I'll give an example because this happens every day. I see it on Facebook a lot, actually, when I used to be on it. But say here, Tavis, he's got a nice jute. So say in conversation, which I know Tavis is just sort of half listening, I say, I think those Isuzu utes have to be the ugliest ute I've ever seen. Right? I could say that to Andrew, right? I'm talking to Andrew. I know Tavis is there and I just want to have a dig at him, right? Maybe I don't want to have a dig. Maybe I just want to say it because Andrew and I both own Toyotas, you know? And So if Tavis hears that, does he think I intentionally say it to offend him? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's just a conversation. And would you just start to defend yourself as to the reason you bought that vehicle? In fact, would you dig out the stats, you know, on the fuel economy and the parts cost and the, you know, depreciation, all those, you know, there has to be a reason he bought that ugly car, right? Right? Yeah. Yeah. And so, but that's what happens, right? We hear a comment about whatever it may be, our music choice, whatever, and we feel we have to defend it. Somehow that's a personal attack on us for some reason. I don't know. But that's when we start to defend it. And I see this on Facebook a lot. And Lenny, I think, had a great suggestion for Facebook, which I followed. And I have blocked every single person. I have. So you're still my friends. And if you send me a message, I'll get it. But I have zip in my news feed except for quick info, which tells me the scores overnight. But except for that, zip in my news feed. I don't see what people say anymore. And it's great. It saved me about 3 hours a day, actually. Lenny suggested that, and I would suggest that to everyone. But what I used to see on Facebook when I was on it is someone just happens to share an article that lines up with their point of view, you know, and whatever it may be. I won't mention any because it'll offend some of you. But they'll just share an article that just happens to, and you know, there's about, and then the next day someone else happens to share an article with the opposite opinion. You know, and you're fighting over Facebook. Amazing. So follow Lenny's advice on that. Any Facebook tips, talk to Lenny. But that's what happens. We take other people's opinions as a personal attack on ourselves for some reason, and then we start to defend. We do this every day, and as soon as we see this, our haughty egos launch a counterattack. And we often end up hurting people. Often we take offense because we're unsure of ourselves. We're unsure of our position in Christ. If you knew who you were, whether someone like Ford or Holden, or you know your beliefs about Easter, or whatever they may be, it wouldn't worry you because it actually has no bearing on who you are or what you're called to. If you're sure of your position in Christ, like Dominic is as a son, you're sure of your calling, it then doesn't matter what people say or what they share on Facebook. You can happily ignore it. This is what Jesus said in Luke 17. He said, offenses will certainly come. So what I was going to share today, because we're in community and we're going to continue to walk together, is as we mature, offenses will not go away. The same offenses we had now, the same offenses we had 10 years ago, we will have in 10 years. I'm sorry, but that's just the nature of our world and how we act. And Jesus said it himself, offenses will come. Where the change occurs is what we do. And Paul's instructions to us in 2 Corinthians 10:5 says to take every thought captive to Jesus Christ. So when that offense comes, when Tavis has a go at my car, instead of my haughty ego retaliating and defending myself and my fuel consumption, I will instead just zip it. That's the first choice is to zip it. The second choice is to get your heart in order. So offenses will always come. The choice is what you do. If you choose to pick it up, it's sin and it's a threat to community. If when that offense comes, and it will come, so don't get offended at other people in here, they will offend you. Instead, choose to say we belong to each other, take it in the best possible light, because often they don't mean it. Zip your lips and deal with your heart. Offense is a big one because it leads to some of those other threats I was talking about. It leads to resentment, jealousy and gossip, amongst other things. And it's time to put a dividing line in. It's time to mark the boundary and say, you know, this far, no further. We'll let the offense come up, but that's it. I've got a line in, shut the mouth and move on. But it's hard. And we are fortunate to live in a day of grace where the Holy Spirit helps us with these things. Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know that the count of the offense is thankfulness, you know, forgiveness. Criticism. James 2:13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who hasn't shown mercy, because mercy triumphs over judgment. What James is saying there is what Jesus said earlier in Luke, judge and you will not be judged. You know, at the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. How we treat other people in our community is ultimately how God treats us. And James backed it up in his. Judgment is without mercy to those who haven't shown mercy. Criticism is another great threat. You know, criticism is when you judge other people. When, you know, we're all right about some things. And that's because we're made in the image of God and his truth. But we are also wrong about a lot of things. All of us are, every single one. Not just one, not just two. Everybody is wrong about some things. And that's because all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. So we're made in his image, yet we have sinned. And we're in that place of being, you know, being made righteous through Jesus Christ and being sanctified through his Holy Spirit. And if you're a person who ends every single discussion with you being right and them being wrong, it's highly probable that you're a critical person. You're probably great at debating, but poor at living. And criticism can distract us from God's purposes in our life. So why does it happen? It happens because we compare ourselves with others, often to make us feel better. You know, a lot of what goes on us is just due to selfishness. You know, that's that old man that sits in us. And so we compare with ourselves with others to make us feel better. It also happens when others fail to do what we ask. You know, we might think it's we ever ask somebody to do something, they don't do it. So we judge them and criticize them. And often when our expectations aren't being met. On that list earlier about threats to community, expectations was on that list. Another one was assumptions. And we might think they're harmless things, but honestly, expectations is a big one. And you know, part of our journey is learning not to put high expectations on other people. Because when they don't live up to it, then we judge. And funny, if they go over it, we're often jealous. You know, we need to, you know, not do that. So the cure for criticism is thanksgiving and extending mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We have to thank Jesus for paying the penalty that we deserved and then extend that same grace and that same love to others. So that's the cure. Thanking Jesus for what he's done for us and being so thankful about that that we're willing to extend that same love to people around us. You know, there's no reason that we can't act like Christ. You know what Jesus said about judging? He said, don't. What does criticism lead to? It leads to broken relationships. And I just know from my own life that, you know, something little happens and there's just a little wedge there, right? Just it's just tiny, but you don't feel like talking to that person anymore. It's not like you hate their guts, but you might just choose to spend time with somebody else. And I can tell you that that wedge will just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And you've got to value the person over that wedge. Something my dad always says to me is value relationship over performance. He says it over and over to me. Value relationship over performance. Value people over, you know, the issues. And that's what we've got to learn to do in community. One of our boundaries is we have to learn to value the person over whatever issue that we take from that person. And offenses do come and criticism comes. And even if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, we make mistakes because we've sinned. And so when I say something nasty to you, or I might not think it's nasty, I might just think you've asked me a question, I just blurt out what I think is the truth back at you, but it comes out as harsh and judgmental. Your choice, you need to value me, the person, over whatever issue you felt there. You need to, you know, take every thought captive to Christ, zip the lips, and deal with the heart. And because criticism leads to broken relationships and it's not worth it. And I know that we always think the other person should apologize. I know this because I'm married. Yeah, I know. And I always think Krista should apologize for, you know, that's just how marriages work, right? You always think that you're doing the right thing for some reason. But say you just happen to be right, just one of those times where you actually are right. It's easier to value you got to value the person more. And it's easier to say sorry and fix it up. And you'll find once you do that, the issue is a non-issue anyway. It seems big at the time, but it's not really big. But if you don't deal with it, you can lose the person forever. Criticism leads to broken relationships. So draw a line in the sand, this far, no further. Realize what Christ has done. You know, we're Christians. We meet together on the Lord's Day. We are well aware of what Christ has done for us. You know, it's like that parable of the unjust servant. We know what Christ has done for us. Why are we holding that guy who owes us 20 bucks and taking him to jail? Why are we doing that? Realize what Christ has done and intentionally extend mercy. Intentionally, that like a choice. Not because we feel like it, a choice. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 to 24. Now we ask you, brothers, to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace amongst yourselves. And we exhort you, brothers, warn those who are irresponsible, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit, don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will also do it. And the last one today is gossip. I spoke about this probably a year ago. Psalm 41:7 says, all who hate me whisper together about me, and they plan to harm me. Gossip is a real killer. And so I have a simple definition of gossip. And for me, gossip is when a negative is discussed with anyone who can't fix the problem. Okay? So the only time you're allowed to say anything negative at all is with the one person who can actually fix it. So which means if you have a problem with me and how I speak to you, you're not allowed to talk to each other because they can't fix that. The only person you're allowed to talk to is me. And if I don't listen, then you can do what the scripture says and go talk to my leaders. You can talk to my leaders first. They can probably fix it. But you don't dare talk to your friends about it. We're not allowed to. The scripture tells us otherwise. So that means if you're at work and you have a problem with the receptionist who yaks around the photocopier all day or whatever people do, you don't tell your friends. They can't fix it. You go talk to the receptionist or the boss, someone who's willing to hear it, you know. So that's what gossip is. The funny thing about gossip or slander is it doesn't have to be lies. Gossip can actually be true. You know, if you're spreading a rumor, not just a rumor, if you're spreading a fact about someone else and what they did, it could actually be true. It could be the truth. But you're not allowed to talk about it because it's negative. Negatives are only allowed to be discussed with the person who can fix it. Proverbs 10 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. And with every word which we speak, we're making a choice. So we're either choosing to bless God or to grieve him, because when we talk about other people, that's what happens. We bless God or we grieve him, even though we think we're just talking about our neighbor. Like if I say something about Tavis that's negative, that's actually grieving God. So with every word, we're either triumphing over the enemy with a good testimony or letting him triumph over us with a corrupt tongue. And like I said, there will be problems. That's part of life. Like there are always offenses, there's problems. So I'm not saying you can't be annoyed about something. And I'm not saying you can't be frustrated about something. And in all honesty, you better be. At some point, you better care enough about what's going on to bump up into it. We need to have passion. And people who are passionate about, you know, sometimes they're going to bump into one another. You see teammates in football do this. They're both going for the same cause, but they're so passionate, their own teammates say, you know, come on. So the deal is not whether you get frustrated or annoyed. The deal is not whether you have an issue or not. The deal is how you handle it, a bit like the offense. And you have one option. Talk to the person who can fix it. You can talk to your leaders. That's fine. It's handing negatives to someone who can deal with it. The solution to gossip is very simple. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Just the solution to gossip is actually just to shut your mouth. It's very simple. It's all through the Bible. And the good thing is, like all these other things, that's actually a prayer for God to do that, put a guard. So, and that's how we deal with it. We deal with it with prayer and with grace. We ask God to put a guard over our mouths because it can be very hard to stop some of these things ourselves. You know, I'll read Romans 12:9 in a minute. But Barry kept on saying the same thing. He would have said it, I reckon, 8 to 10 times over the last 2 weekends. And I'm going to get somebody to paint on a wall. I'm going to do something with it. But he says, you eat the fruit of your lips. He said it, if he said it once, he said it so many times. He kept on saying, you eat the fruit of your lips. And a lot of these things relate to it. You know, if we gossip, we eat that fruit later. But if we declare positive things, if we pray, if we speak in tongues like he was suggesting, we eat that fruit later. We get filled up with the Spirit of God. So I am going to write that somewhere big. We eat the fruit of our lips. Romans 12:9-18. Love must be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be in agreement with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Try to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes, if possible on your part. Live at peace with everyone. It's amazing how many times Paul kept on saying, do not repay evil with evil. He just says it over and over. And that's the second half of that Romans 12 passage that I read in two halves. So parents, Romans 12, get your kids to learn. Just say it every day. You know, it's really a great passage for how we live in the community, Romans 12. So time to draw a line. Philippians 2. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, you know, if there's any love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, if we have received any of those things from Christ, fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility considers others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That passage then leads into one of David Hood's favorite verses that he shares a lot, which says your attitude, next verse, 5, says your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who, being very nature God, did not consider himself, you know, equality with God, but humbled himself to die death on a cross. And that there is the attitude that we should have. You know, that should be one of our main values of community. Not considering ourselves highly than others, but submission to one another. Tony.
I'll get the band up, please. We'll sing a song to finish with. Thanks. I remember what I was going to say about Marin. And it's got to do with this. You know when she said, I love to sit and watch people under the Spirit, and, you know, people being blessed and all of that stuff, there's a good reason for that, eh? Because she's joined at the hip with them. She's part of them. She's part of us, as we're part of each other, as he's just been saying. And and whilst things are happening in the spirit realm, and she's watching it, and she's, oh, that's great, they're being blessed, they're being blessed, they're being blessed. Marvelous stuff. As soon as we do what Philip was suggesting, criticism, taking offense, taking all those other things, She's getting blessed when she's watching people getting blessed. Do you get what I'm saying? Soon as we start the other stuff, do you know what happens to us? We get messed up really badly. Really badly. Up here and here, relationship with others, relationship in our family. So, only one answer to that, and that's to repent. Actually, the answer, what's the answer, everyone? Tell me what the answer is. To know Jesus. It's always the answer. To know who you are in Christ will help you stop the criticism, stop the gossip, stop all the negative thoughts, because you're full of positive stuff. To know Jesus and know who you are in Christ, rather than when somebody says you've got a bad car or you've got a bad this, you've got a bad hairdo, what have you got? You got Jesus. And that's all that matters. Why don't we stand together? Let me just take a second in your own heart right now. If you want to come out and get some prayer regarding this, you're very welcome to. Now's the time to do it. If you feel like you've got criticism, you've got negativities, you haven't got enough of Jesus, well, I know we could all come out the front and pray. If you think negatively of yourself, you will think negatively of others. If you're full of Jesus, you will begin to think highly of yourself and highly of others. Ask for more of Christ. Just start to ask for more of Christ. Father, we thank you that by your Holy Spirit we are filled. We are filled and we receive more. We take time to come aside with you and be filled and know how much you love us, how much you adore us, how much you care for us, how much we belong to you and each other. And we receive the gift. Just receive from the Father the gift of community, unity. Let him fill you with it by his Holy Spirit. Fill you with it. Believe you are joined. Believe when you say something negative, it hurts you, it hurts others. Believe it. Now think the positive. Think the positive. Begin to love your brothers and sisters more and more and more. Father, we thank you for your grace on us right now. Thank you for filling our hearts. Just drink in. Drink in more of it. Feel the Lord would say, don't neglect to study the Word of God. Don't neglect it. It needs to be studied. You need to understand who God is so you can understand who you are. And the more you neglect it, the less you have. Receive what God has got for you through the Word. Let it fill your heart. Fill your heart. Fill our hearts. Fill our hearts. Okay, everyone, you're getting full. Answer this question by raising your hand. Are you full? Are you full of the Holy Spirit? Are you full of the Holy Spirit? Answer that question by raising your hand. Are you full? If John was here and saw a hand down, he'd smack you. Full and getting fuller is the end. Full and getting fuller. Thank you, Lord. Father, I ask your grace, your power, your anointing, your heart on everyone here. And Lord, as we go out, Lord, bless us. Give us understanding, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.